Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, and glad that you could join. We're a little bit skinny this morning, but that's all right. We already talked about this morning that God does what He wants to do, and He's got some other things going on sometimes in our lives, and that's a whole nother talk. But moving right along, I digress. Welcome. In your bulletin, there are some announcements, and I will add a couple little things. Number one, this is a fifth Sunday, so unless otherwise specified, your offering will go into the building fund. So that's, if you want, don't want it to go in the building fund, but want to give, just put a note on there saying that. No Bible study this week. Pastor will be gone Wednesday through Friday and out of the area. So no Bible study this week. And I am trying to get put together a church membership class that will proceed hopefully about the middle of February. Next couple weeks are going to be busy for me, but middle of February we'll try to get two or three classes put together for... I've got a couple, I've got about four that's interested right now. Anyone else, please talk to me. Let me know. Contact information list is still back there. If you haven't signed it and put your information down, please do so. If you want a church giving receipt for 2016, talk to Dalen and he can get you one. Coming up in down the road a ways, something that kind of interested me, not that I will even necessarily go, but some of you may be interested in the fact that Samaritan's Purse is coming out with a new film, a documentary film, that will be shown in some theaters one day and one day only, March 30th. So that's quite a ways away. But it's on the Ebola crisis in West Africa. It's called Facing Darkness, and it is a documentary of what happened, what transpired, and along with testimony of God's great power in that. Dr. Kent Brantley, who got the Ebola virus, is in it, along with some others that contacted the Ebola and all that took place. But called Facing the Darkness. It will be at the Shiloh Crossing. I haven't been to any of the theaters out there. That's all new stuff. But it will be shown there on March 30th, and March 30th only is my understanding. Facing the Darkness. Any other announcements that need to be made? I do have the new camping season at Lutana Bible Camps. I only have one so far. We'll get some more, and that'll give you a chance to look ahead to Bible camp at Lutana. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to read from the Gospel of John in the third chapter. John chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first eight verses. Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees, a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these moments again to share together, and we thank you for your place that surrounds us and is all-encompassing in all of creation and all that there is, but most particularly in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with you, that we are in you and you are in us, and the Spirit of God has made his dwelling place within us. We thank you for that, and we thank you that we can come together, and the added promise that where two or three are gathered together, that you're there in the very midst. We pray that your Spirit might overpower us, that might encompass us in a way that would draw us away from all the distractions, all of the integral details that we have put within our lives. Draw us away from the things that would keep us away from seeing you and knowing you more clearly. Father, we pray that you might do in us what you have chosen to do, and do within us this morning the work of maturing us and bringing us closer to yourself. May our hearts be open. May they be worshipful. May they see you. May you bless in each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing some choruses from the Red Chorus book. And we're going to start at 171, and if you would like, you can stand as you sing. 171, Worthy, You Are Worthy. Eleven.
great is the Lord. We'll go to a time of prayer, sharing of request or praise. Let me start. I'm not sure what category this even is. This is a portion of Visions Beyond Borders newsletter. Actually, not the hard copy on the back table, but an email newsletter. In 25 years of chronicling and ranking the political and societal restrictions of religious freedom experienced by Christians worldwide, the organization Open Doors identified 2016 as the worst year yet. In other words, restrictions on religious freedom are dwindling. According to Open Doors, persecution rose globally again for the third year in a row, indicating how volatile the situation has become. In addition, countries in South and Southeast Asia rapidly rose to the unprecedented levels and now rank among the among such violent areas as the Middle East and Sub-Sahara Africa. So, as sometimes it's brought up, pray for the persecuted Christians. It's not getting any better, is the bottom line. But, on the other hand, praise. We continue to bring more Bibles overseas as the church flourishes. Our last team in Southeast Asia was able to move over 2,000 Bibles in a closed Southeast Asian country. We just received a shipment of 24,500 Asian pastor study Bibles. Now, in that part of the world, you ask, why do they specify study Bibles? These are for pastors particularly because they don't have the resources that we have. Some of you know I'm redoing my office now, and I got lots of books, but I've seen pastors that put me to shame. I mean, just like I'm a Bambi in compared to a lot of them, but I have a lot of books, and I'm building a lot of bookcase. But these pastors have nothing, so to speak. And just a study Bible, I've got three or four at least different study Bibles. And, you know, if they just have one, it's a real help for them. We have many other things. And I didn't know where I was going to throw this in this morning, but this is a good place. You know, with my office turned upside down, and I don't know where all my books are, and they're stacked and all this, and I thought, one of the things I use quite occasionally is a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. And I didn't know where it was. I was wanting to look up a word, and I was wanting to see it in the Greek, and then meanings given to it, and so on and so forth. And I thought, silly me, I have a computer. And I Googled Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and I found a site where I could quickly and easily go and find what I was looking for in the format of the Strong's Concordance. And then I thought, gee, I have an iPad. I bet there's an app for the Strong's Concordance. And I went in, and there's a free one, and I downloaded it, and it works great. You know, we have so many resources. When I study anymore, I'm in front of my computer. I don't know why I even need books. I don't know why I even need all the, anyway, but books are nice sometimes. But these guys have nothing, and these are tremendous for them. Asian pastors, Southeast Asia, many of these countries aren't specified because they don't want those in charge to know because they're closed country. These Bibles were donated to the ministry at a savings of $196,000, just given to Visions Beyond Borders. In addition, we have a donor that is contributing 30,000 Hmong Bibles to deliver to two other closed Southeast Asian countries. This will save the ministry $180,000. We also have 1,300 Hmong Bibles in Hong Kong that we are working to move into a closed Southeast Asian country, and 8,000 still in Thailand that we are planning to move by the end of the summer. So praise the Lord. The Word of God is going into even closed countries. And oh yeah, if you're interested in being on a team that goes to one of those countries and smuggles these Bibles into these countries, they have a place for you. If anybody's interested in that, and one of the things that I didn't realize, and I don't know if it's new or what, but Visions Beyond Borders has an office in Billings now, and they're having a special deal this Friday, and I didn't even put that down. But if you're interested, let me know. We'll put some things together. Pray for the persecuted Christians and praise the Lord for what He is doing. Most often, whenever there is persecution, there is also revival. Praise the Lord. Request or praise? Ken?
Just along with that, Bridger is still with Swiss Vision, based out of Hong Kong, so keep him in prayers as well. Regularly smoking Bibles.
Okay. Bridger is a young man from central Montana that has went through Lieutenant Bible Camp, and from the time he's a kid to working and counseling and teaching and stuff, and has had some short-term experience, and now he's there full-time, is he? Okay. Neat young man. I think he's probably been in this church maybe at one time, but anyway. Okay. Request praise. Go ahead.
Dwight Fremont.
This isn't related to Dwight Fremont. No, this isn't Bridger Boyd's. This is Bridger Estelle. It's a different Bridger. Okay.
And Dwight's not with Vision.
And Dwight used to be, but is not with them anymore. In fact, the last I knew, he was home. He's not even over there now. But anyway, Kay. He's not through with him here yet. Okay, his cancer checkup was clean again. They did note on his lungs that there had been a bleed, probably dating back to his accident with the elk last fall, and they didn't catch it at the time, but the cancer doctor says, hey, did you know? And there it was. But praise the Lord, God takes care of us. And he's going to keep us here as long as he wants us. And until that time, there's nothing that anyone, including Satan, can do to stop us. So use your time, bottom line. Okay. Pray for each other, which it would include as well the pastor and his wife, and always be alert to the promptings of the Spirit of God to do and to pray as he wants. Terry.
Pray for Mel and the way he's rebounding from his episode. Looking well.
A spring in his step. Praise the Lord. Troy, cancer as well. Good report. 'Tis the season. Praise the Lord, because there's so many so many negative things coming across, that so much cancer and all this kind of stuff. It's praise the Lord for the good things. Wendy had her procedure done Friday morning, and Jimmy said it turned out well, longer than anticipated, but continue to pray for the mass of whatever it is in her brain that they radiated, and just recovery from that. Request or praise? Nan. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it interesting? Pray for the nation. Direction.
You know, no, I'm not going to say anything. Pray for our president. Pray for our vice president. Pray for leaders. We are told in Romans, I believe it's chapter 13, that God has given. It's kind of weird. He has given our leaders as ministering angels, as ministering to us for our good. We don't always see that. We don't always understand that. And there's, you know, a lot of this goes beyond human comprehension. But and it tells us to pray for them. Pray for those who are an authority over us. So if you want to forget the other stuff, just remember that. We are to pray for those who are an authority over us. So pray for our leaders. And that starts from the top down to local as well. Anything else? Revival. He understands that sometimes revivals hurt a little bit. Sometimes you be careful what you pray for. You might get it. And it's what God wants, but sometimes it brings difficulty into our lives as well. But understand that in everything, God will give us the grace and mercy to do what He wants us to do and to live through whatever He wants us to live through. That's also with the blessings that come with it. And that's also with all the great things that come with it. But sometimes He takes us through those hard times to build and to increase within our lives His nature and the character that He wants to build within us as well. And hopefully the revival, the turning back. The church needs revival, the turning back to God, turning away from our sin. Okay? Kelly and Bridget. Okay. And that involves several things, so pray for them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll give you a moment to pray in your heart, and at least spend a moment worshiping God in your prayer or whatever, but then I'll lead us together. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You. This is a time that we share with one another. There's things going on in our lives, and there's things around us and people. There's things that weren't mentioned that I know are upon people's hearts right now. There are things that come our way and things that surround us. And the reality is that we come to You about these things because we know that You know and care, that You have power beyond anything and everything else. You are our God. You are our Savior. You are the one who has this great eternal plan in store for us. And You've promised to work good in our lives. You've promised to supply all of our needs according to Your riches in Christ Jesus. You've promised that You would never leave us nor forsake us. Sometimes we feel forsaken. We just feel, and it's wrong. It's not true. And the usurper comes along and just adds to that and reinforces it against You within our hearts. But we come back to the reality of truth and what your word said and your promises that you have made that you have never failed upon, and you have promised to take care of us. We are told to pray for one another, and we are told about the power of prayer. You are the one with the power. You are the one in control. You are the one that knows everything. And so sometimes we just sit back and just leave it up to you to do it. But there is a call to prayer. There is a call to intercede on behalf of others. There is a call to have a relationship with you that reaches out to the world around us and allows us to love and prompts us and commands us to love. And prayer is a part of that. Father, we just thank you, and we pray that as we have shared and as we have prayed and will continue to pray, that you might bless, that you might undertake in some very special and particular ways. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our offering. I'm going to ask Ed Rastad if he'd come and take the offering this morning. Father, for this offering, we thank you and ask your blessing upon it to be used in ways that maybe are not tangible in our hearts and minds, but are in yours and are effective to all eternity to bring honor and glory to your name. We ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. In the first epistle or first letter of John, not the gospel that we read, but in the first epistle. We were there last week, but this week in chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We will continue this morning on what we know, what we can know, what we should know. There are topics that a pastor can talk about that are more fun to talk about than other topics. Sometimes it gets to be a pretty weighty burden when we talk about some of the truths that God has in store for us, including his judgment and all that is involved within that. But today we get to talk. I get to talk about one of the good ones. And it's one that we look forward to.
We get to talk about the future, to a better time when you and I will be different. Would anybody here like to be different than they are right now? Okay, I hope so, because there is something, even though God is so good to us, and He has given us salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, here and now, He has something for us in the future that is even greater. We've begun that look. We've begun that walk. We've begun to change. We have a new nature in Jesus Christ on the inside. And He's building within us through His Holy Spirit. But one day, it's going to get even better. In this text today, we're going to find another great truth of God that we can know. But first, let's lay some groundwork. And this is an important aspect of this. In 1 John chapter 3, let me read the first three verses, and we're going to concentrate on verse 2, but let me read all three of these verses. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. The first foundational understanding within this concept, at least where we want to go today, is the fact that God has declared us to be those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, who are truly born of the Spirit of God, are born again, as we read in John chapter 3, that we are His children. You know, that's in reality a pretty powerful statement. We are children of God. Now, I know that there is a lot of people out there that are saying that we are all, including everybody that's alive within this world, that we are all children of God. Right? You've heard that said. You've heard that brought across in speeches and this and that and sermons and all of that. But the reality is that, yes, we are children of God, all of us, in the fact of creation, that God started it all, that He put it into motion, that He creates each one of us. But there's a bigger sense, a spiritual sense, in which that is not true for the unbeliever. That in reality, in the spiritual sense, they are not children of God. It doesn't work that way. It isn't that way. We are only children of God because God makes us to be His children. John 1:12 says,
it left me. For some reason I've been having trouble with this verse, and it's one of the first verses that I ever learned as a kid. But as many as received Him, I got it. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become what? The sons of God, the children of God, even to them who believe on His name. And we talked about what it means to believe last week. Even to them who believe on His name. God gave us power to become the sons of God, the children of God. We read in John, the Gospel of John chapter 3, at the beginning of the service this morning, Jesus' little chat with Nicodemus. Nicodemus snuck away in the middle of the night and came to Jesus and says, I want to talk to you. And it all goes in a different direction than what it appears it's going to go. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. That's a really an important concept. Ye must be born again. Why did Jesus say that? Well, because He's God. because he knows the reality. He knows the truth. He knew why he came to earth. And he begins to talk to Nicodemus and tries to get him to understand, but to understand that this is a spiritual truth and not everybody is going to understand it because they don't have the Spirit of God. They're not saved. They're not born again. Jesus said that a man must be born, and some people interpret this a little differently, but I interpret it that you have to be born physically, right? I mean, you and I have to be real. I think, therefore, I am, because my mom and dad had me almost 65 years ago. My mom gave birth to me. I am a human being. I am physical. It's not just that I think that I am. It is that I am. That I exist. And I am real. Every human being has been born physically, if they're truly human being. Now, there might be a few walking around that aren't human beings, but that's a whole nother. And I could go different. Why even bring that up, Lynn? Okay, move on. We must be born physically to start with. This is a unique deal that God has given to us. It's his plan. He created us knowing that we would fall into sin and that he would have to redeem us through his son, Jesus, through Jesus, the eternal God, in the form of flesh and blood, incarnate, God incarnate. He would have to do that. Why would he do that? So that we could be reborn. We're born physically and we're born in sin. But there is a capacity within us to be born also spiritually. Not everyone has a spiritual life. In fact, no one who has not placed their faith in Jesus Christ has that spiritual capacity, the spiritual capability. Don't have that. They're not been born again. He's saying that you're born physically to Nicodemus, so you must also be born spiritually. Paul makes it clear that we're born dead in our trespasses and sin. Jesus says you have to then, because you're dead, you have to be made alive again. You have to be born spiritually. That's what it means to be born again. How do you do that? Through faith in Jesus Christ. A new life begins to grow within you, a new spirit, the Spirit of God, the spirit of a saved human being, a spirit that has a relationship with our Creator, with our Savior. It was dead before that. It has now been made alive. Now, thinking back to the physical, at some point in your life, you were conceived. Ew. You might think, but that's true. At some point, you became a human being. You started to grow. We won't get into that whole issue. Not today. You started to grow, and you were born. You came into this world a physical human being. And you started to grow. You grew, first of all, in your mother's womb, and then you came out of your mother's womb, and you continued to grow and mature in many different ways, physically, in different aspects, mentally, emotionally, all that kind of thing. Spiritually, the same thing happens in a different way, but in many ways the same way. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you place your faith in Him, you begin to grow. A life, a spiritual life that was not there before is now there. You weren't there physically before you were conceived. Now you are. You've been born. Spiritually, you're born. I was thinking, physically, we have a human father. Except for Jesus. He did not have a human father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Spiritually, we're not conceived by a human. We're also conceived by the Spirit of God. God starts this because we accept Jesus. He starts this new faith within us, this new life, this spiritual life. He conceives that life within us, and that life begins to grow just as it did in the physical realm. And we grow spiritually. We've been talking about in Hebrews about immature Christians who are drinking milk, and some of them should be past drinking milk and eating solid food, and they're not because they're still babies. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about carnal Christians and being babies of still taking, having to have milk and not solid food. But as a spiritual being, we should continue to grow. And that should continue to be a part of who we are. Because we have been born again. We've been born of the Spirit of God, and that spiritual aspect of us grows. It's essential for us to grow. And we are because of that. All that, I said all that just to get to here, and all I had to do is just say this, right? So, we were conceived by God, by the Holy Spirit, so we are what? His children. We're children of God, as it's stated here in 1 John chapter 3, as well as it's taking off from the Gospel of John chapter 3. That we are the children of God. How come? Because we have been born again. We have been born of the Spirit of God. And so we are now His children. That is a wonderful thing. That is a wonderful truth. And you should hang on to that. You should want to live there pretty close to that. So because we are children then, that leads us to what we can know as it's stated here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we will be. We know, though, that when we see Him, what? We will be like Him. That's what I'm getting to. And I won't spend a lot of time there, but that's what I'm really getting to. We know that one day, when this all transpires and all the change has taken place, not only spiritually, but spiritually and physically together, and we've been remade, that we will not only be His children, but we will be like Him. When we see Him, that's Jesus, we will be like Him. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. We're not sure about all of the things that will be in store for us. When Mercy Me sings I Can Only Imagine, or all the other artists that have sang that song, they sing I Can Only Imagine what it's going to be like when we see Him face to face. We wonder. But this is one thing we don't have to wonder about. And John says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. There's so many things I don't know, so many things I don't understand about my eternity with Him. But then he goes on to say, though, that when we see Him, we know that we will be what? We will be like Him. To be like Jesus Christ. Now, that may mean a lot of things. And we may not be sure about what all of those things are. But one of the things that we can go back to, and this is true about knowing God as well. I was thinking about that. I've been concentrated on talking when I talk about knowing God, that we know God by creation. We know Him through the Word, most importantly through the Word. But we also know Him through Jesus. Jesus is an exact duplicate of God. One of the epistles, Paul's epistles, states that. He is an exact representation. When you look at Jesus, when you study Jesus, when you spend time with Jesus, you're seeing into the Trinity. You're seeing into Jehovah God. You're seeing Him. And when we talk about being like Jesus, one of the things that we can go back to again is Jesus after His resurrection. Because that is, Jesus had at that point His resurrected body. He was always had the Spirit alive within Him as we do as Christians. He always had that. But now He had a glorified body like you and I will one day have. And you can gain some understanding, maybe, of what it will be like. But the primary point is that we will be like Him. A couple of main passages that elaborate a little bit on this changing process. Let's quickly turn to them. I've got a few minutes. Ha-ha, a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 15. The whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 deals with the resurrection, but the last part in particular, verse 50, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood, this body, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable, again, this body, inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. There is going to be, at some point, a change that takes place not only in your spiritual, but in your physical as well. Because this perishable must put on the imperishable. We are not fit as we are to live in eternity with God the way we are. He must change us. So, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. 52, in a moment. How quick is a moment? I think it's pretty quick, okay? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How quick is the twinkling of an eye? That's pretty quick. At the last trumpet, there's always a trumpet here when we're talking about this. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. How are we before death? How are we before, excuse me, the resurrection? We are perishable. But the dead believers are going to be raised how? Imperishable. That means a new body. We will be changed. It already says that. We will be changed in verse 51. And not only the dead will be raised imperishable, but those who are alive, and we will be changed. The connotation is that they are awaiting the resurrection. Paul is awaiting the resurrection. At that point in time, it was going to happen before he died, and we will be changed as well. 1 Corinthians 4 elaborates on it in a very short way, I think even better, or just as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting at verse 13, I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant. I like the old King James, ignorant. I like that. But anyway, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who have died, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. 16, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and what? The trumpet of God. God's into trumpets, okay? And the dead in Christ will rise first. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 said. The dead will rise first. Those who are asleep will rise first. 17, then we are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 highlights the change. We must change. God will remake this body into an eternal body, and we will see him, and we will be like him. Isn't that amazing? Don't you want to be like Jesus? Sometimes we feel so far away and so imperfect that we don't even understand how that could be. This is probably dealing a great deal with the physical. The spiritual has already started in us. God has begun that change process. We have a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God has given him a new nature, and he's recreating us from the inside out. We are a new creation, and that is going forward. And then this body is going to be changed, and both are going to be perfect and be like Christ. Doesn't mean that we're going to be gods. Let me just throw that in. It doesn't mean that we're going to be gods. Many believe that. You get into what we term the cults, the pseudo-Christian belief systems. You get into the New Age movement, if you've had any introduction to the New Age. One of the things that many, if not most of these, believe is that we literally become God ourselves. Think back to the very beginning. Satan told Eve, "You will be like God." It's a lie of Satan. We don't become divine. We do not become God. But we do have the nature of Jesus Christ. And we are changed to be like him. We have God inside of us. And he has given us the divine character to be a part of our lives and to be essentially within us. It's an amazing thing. And it's a wonderful thing. We have already started, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we've already started that change process. New life in Jesus Christ. Let me wrap this up. I pulled this off of the Desiring God website upon this topic. And I like the way it said it. It's almost too good to be true. The Christian doctrine of glorification, that's literally what we've been talking about, the doctrine of glorification, is stunning to say the least. Not only will we see Jesus in all his new creation glory, but we will share with him in it. When he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. That should sound familiar because that's where we've just been, okay? If the scriptures didn't make it so plain, we wouldn't have the gall to make this up. Even in our wildest dreams, but the Apostle Paul tells us we will appear with him in glory, Colossians 3:3, and that awaiting us is an eternal weight of glory, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Jesus himself prays to the Father about us. The glory that you have given to me, I have given to them. That's to his disciples, John 17:22. And perhaps most shocking of all, Peter says, we will become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers, that doesn't mean that we will be divine, but we will partake in the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Most of us recoil at the talk of our being glorified like this, and that can be a good instinct. We don't want anyone to eclipse God's glory. After all, Our pursuit of glory on the wrong terms is sin and high treason. But our reception of glory from God is a beautiful and biblical reality, and we're steeping our souls in on occasion. To be called children of God, you know, we can go around with our heads up and whistling a happy tune and telling everybody, hey, you know who my Father is? It's God. And they look at us and say, oh, you know, he's kind of crazy. And we can kind of put ourselves up on a pedestal. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong going around telling people you're a child of God. But to put ourselves up on a pedestal of superiority, and there's a certain amount of truth to that, but to do that is probably not good. And it's bringing glory to yourself. Be careful. Bringing glory to yourself rather than glory to God. A long time ago at a pastor's conference, someone said, when people compliment you on your sermon, always detract that compliment back to God. It's kind of hard to do, and I don't do a very good job of it, but in my mind, I'm always trying to do that at least. Refer that glory back to Him. That's the good part of this, that He receives the glory. Our reception of glory from God is a beautiful and biblical reality, and we're steeping our souls in occasion. We must let the Bible have its say and learn to see God's glory and our glory aren't necessarily opposed. Ideally, with sin out of the picture, that's when this all takes place, the glorification, they're not at odds at all, but mutually enriching. The more God glorifies us in His Son, the more He is glorified. You might say that God is most glorified in us when we are most glorified in Him. The key is that our glory and all that we are is always reverted back to Him, that He is the one of which we worship and adore and keep on the pedestal, and never ourselves. The reality is, we can know this, that one day, even though we're not quite there yet, that one day, when we see Him face to face, and He changes us, as He's promised to do, we will be like Him. That just amazes me. And I want to spend my time there. I would like to go from here to there right now. It'd be a wonderful thing. But you can know this, and you can have confidence in that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for the moments to share and for the truth and reality of what Your Word says. First of all, that through faith in Jesus Christ, we are Your children, and that being Your children, You have an eternal place for us at Your side as Your children. And to do that, there has to be some changes made. The first change happens inside of us when we accept Christ, and You give us a new nature. The second phase of that will take place when we are translated from this life, from this world, to our eternal world, in Your eternal presence. And then the rest of the transformation will take place. A new imperishable body, a new imperishable being. Father, that happening, we will be like Jesus. What an amazing thing. Help us to live there. Help us to live in respect of that to the world around us so that we might also share Him with the world around us. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't get to sing this too often, but 519. Don't get to sing it because I don't put it down.